بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين وقال تبارك وتعالى وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خير الناس أنفعهم للناس أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم اما بعد علماء الكرام respected elders and dear brothers and mothers and sisters who are listening over the receivers السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته last week Saturday I had the opportunity of being present in a jalsa that was arranged by the Jamiatul Ulama of South Africa, Indonesia, Saturday evening. And I was also asked to say a few words at that jalsa. The theme of the jalsa was an extremely important and a very outstanding theme. The theme of that jalsa was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man of his people. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man of his people. And this is indeed, in a sense, a comprehensive description of the entire chapters of the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For indeed, if we have to analyze and summarize, what else can be said with regards to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than the fact that he was a man of the people? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam demonstrated by way of his seerah, by way of his example, how he was there for mankind and humanity, what kind of services he rendered to his people. And we find, my dear brothers, that the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a life of action. He was a people's person. He was a man on the ground. He was a man of delivery. He was a person of amal. He was not a person with lot of fancy talks, lots of good ideas, lots of theories. But he was a practical person. He was a man on the ground. He was a people's man. Today what we find that there's lots of workshops, but which can rather be called talk shops, and very little action. People have lots of things to say, lots of words, but very little amal, very little action, very little deeds. This is not the lesson of the seerah. The lesson of the seerah is that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived by whatever he said. He was a practical example of every utterance that he made. He was a practical example of every ayat of the Holy Quran. When Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was asked that try and give a concise description of the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then in one sentence she summarized the whole life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the reason why she is regarded as such a great faqiha and scholar of Deenul Islam, and why she was looked upon by all the sahaba, young and old, great, great sahaba looked upon her for her knowledge. She had such in-depth knowledge of Islam, the Quran, the Sunnah, the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it was only a woman of her knowledge and understanding that could have summarized in such a short sentence the entire seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she said that if you're looking for, you want to understand what was the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then one sentence describes it. Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. Three words in that sentence, but it summarizes the whole life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His life and his character was the Qur'an. If you want to understand who was Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, understand him in the light of the ayat of the Qur'an. When Allah praises all good attributes and qualities of people in the Qur'an, you will find every one of those attributes in perfection in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised people about those who, for example, Kazimin al-Ghayz, who controlled their temper and who did not go out of their minds in the state of rage and anger. But even in the most severest state of provocation, they still kept control over their senses. And they did not go out of their senses and utter or make statements or do actions with regard to which they would have to regret later on. Because it is said in Arabic that أَوَّلُ الْغَضَبِ جُنُونٌ وَآخِرُهُ نَدَمٌ. The beginning of anger is madness and the ending is regret and sorrow. 100% we will find this, that whenever a person acted in the state of anger and ghussa, the beginning was madness. It was a kind of junoon. A person does not even reflect or ponder or think, what am I doing? And the end result of it is always regret and sorrow and remorse. How many homes have broken? How many lives have been lost? How many families have been totally devastated just on one statement or one action that was carried out in the state of ghussa and anger? That is why my Shaykh Awwal, Hazrat Masih al-Ummat, Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi used to always say, Bachcho, ghussa jaha bhi mil jaye, mere paas lao, main usko zabah karna chahta hoon. Wherever you find ghussa and anger, catch it, capture it and bring it to me. I want to slaughter this ghussa and anger, because this is what has caused so much of devastation in society. So if you want to find example of how to control your temper in the state of utmost provocation, then there is no better example than the example of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want to find an example of forgiveness after the highest amount of oppression and wrongdoing has been done to anyone, then you won't find a better example than the example of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want to find the principles of leadership, what should be the attributes and qualities of a leader, and how a leader should conduct himself with his people, which Allah has described in the Quran, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you are harsh, if you are arrogant, you are rude, you are difficult to get along with, then لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Your supporters and your followers would have left you and they would have gone away from you. But فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُ. Through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are a paragon of compassion, of kindness, of mercy, of love. That is why Sahaba ikiram thronged around Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, to rahmatul lil alameen, that personality who Allah himself describes in the Holy Quran is rahmatul lil alameen, the mercy unto the universe. That, O Nabi, despite the fact that you are the Imam of Anbiya, you are the Nabi, you are the messenger of Allah unto humanity and mankind, mankind has no option but to follow you. They have no option but to obey you. They have no option but to be around you. But despite all that, if you displayed that hard-heartedness, if you displayed that harshness towards them, then even your own companions would have left you and they would have gone away from you. Now if that is the extent, then in the case of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then what will be the case of an ordinary person? What would be the case of any ordinary leader in the world? Would his people stick with him? Would his people still respect him? Would he be able to command that respect from them without the attribute of leanness, without the attribute of softness, forgiveness, tolerance, understanding, compassion? It's impossible. If it would not have happened in the case of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how can it happen in the case of any ordinary person? How will it happen in the case of a father in his home, that if he does not have these attributes in his life, that he expects his wife and children to obey him and commands a respect in the home? It will not happen. How many cases we find that the wife becomes rebellious, disobedient to the husband, the children become disobedient to the father because of his attitude. He does not treat them as how he's supposed to treat them as a father. That compassion is lacking, that mercy is lacking, that tolerance and forgiveness is lacking. So if the Nabi cannot keep his followers without these attributes that Allah Rabbul Izzat has praised in the Holy Quran, then how will an ordinary man be able to keep those people around him together and close to him? So my dear friends, coming back to the topic, that the topic and subject was an excellent one. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man of his people. I was asked to say a few words, so I tried to keep my talk very short at that time, and I mentioned one particular incident which I would like to repeat here today. Just to give an example, there are countless incidents in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to illustrate this point, that how he was a people's man. We find on one occasion Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is informed about a Jewish boy, who is a youngster from a Jewish family. This young boy, although he was a Jewish person, from a Jewish family and background, but he had some kind of affinity and attraction towards Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the fact of the matter is, my dear friends, every disbeliever, secretly in their heart, they had a deep reverence and inclination to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it was unfortunately the factors of environment, of family, or tradition, or peer pressure, or societal pressure, that they did not take that step forward and give their hand in the hand of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and recite the shahada and become from the ghulams and slaves of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unfortunately, it was those factors that kept them away. Now we find this young boy used to come and he used to frequent the gatherings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this must make us think and reflect also on a certain point, and that is, would he have kept coming to the gathering of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam if he was not made welcomed in that gathering? If a person is not welcome in a gathering, he will go once, twice, maybe three times at the most. Then he will stop going because he will feel that there's no point me going. My coming is not being acknowledged. And I see no benefit in going. In fact, my coming has been frowned upon, so I rather stay away. This is an indication that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Mubarak heart was open to one and all. He did not discriminate against people. The Jewish boy was welcome in his majlis, and he was welcome to sit in the company there, and he felt at home. And we find that this very same youngster, when he becomes ill, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to the companions and sahaba, come, let us go and visit him. How many of us, let us think and ponder and reflect on this fact, have undertaken a visit to our non-Muslim neighbor when he was ill or sick? Illa mashallah. So few there are. Is this not part of the seerah? Is this not a sunnah? Unfortunately, Allah forgive us, we have confined the understanding of sunnah, we have confined the understanding of the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to certain limited actions of life. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a comprehensive guide in every aspect and field of life. It wasn't only about certain acts of ibadah. It wasn't only confined to certain acts of eating or dressing. But across the board, in every aspect of a person's life, we will find examples and inspiration from the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We find here, my dear friends, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually went to the house of a Jew. Normally, we have this conception that Jews are the worst enemies and they are people to be hated and so forth. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not hate the people for the purpose of hating them. It is their qualities that were hated. It was their actions that were hated. We hate the sin, we don't hate the sinner. This is a principle that is derived from the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every principle, sound principle of Deenul Islam is derived from the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here we find Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not hate them because they were Jews. How many Jews came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They sat in his company. Many accepted the kalima and shahadat. One glaring example is the example of Abdullah bin Salam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was a rabbi, a highly respected person in the Jewish community. He was somebody who was extremely knowledgeable and pious in his own right as a Jewish scholar. The rabbi accepted Islam at the hands of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was that akhlaq, that character, that conduct, that magnetism in the personality of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that drew the people to him. A Jewish rabbi was drawn to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Christian priests were drawn to him. So we find that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not hate anybody. There was no hatred in his heart for anyone individually. The people whose actions were wrong, whose character, whose attitudes were incorrect, they were hated on the basis of that, not on the basis of their person. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to the house of this Jewish boy with a group of sahaba. He's welcomed to the home. He sits down at the bedside of this young boy. And he can see that this is now the last moments of this young boy. And he's going to leave this world. And the zeal and the passion, the burning desire of the heart of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to save humanity and mankind from the fire of hell and jahannam. This was perhaps the greatest sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. As I say, my dear friends, Allah forgive us, we have confined our understanding of seerah or sunnah to some very basic actions. The sunnah is far more encompassing. How many a times has it crossed our heart and mind that when we have seen a ghair Muslim or a non-Muslim, that we've had that desire, that heartfelt desire in our heart, that Ya Allah, if this person can be saved from the fire of hell, what can be done to give for this person to see the light of hidayat and guidance? This was the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what was his passion of his life. So immediately he seized upon that opportunity. And he gave dawat to this young boy. His perennial dawat. Ya ayyuhan nas, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. O people, say La ilaha illallah and you will be successful. Gave him the dawat of the kalima shahada. The boy was inclined. He desired. Obviously, his father was sitting there next to him. And being a young boy, he had to look to his father for some kind of permission. And he looked in the direction of his father. His father also perceived that my son is inclining in that direction. And he's sort of looking for approval to me. The father gave consent and he said, Ati Abul Qasim. Obey Abul Qasim. Accept the offer that has been made to you. Immediately upon getting approval from the father, the young boy recited the kalima shahada, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu annaka rasulullah. Obviously, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was present there. He said, I accept you as the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Saying these words, his ruh left his body and he went inshallah straight into Jannah. Directly into Jannah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so pleased by this act that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak face was beaming with joy. The signs of happiness were manifest in his Mubarak face. He's extremely sensitive. Anger and displeasure would be seen immediately in his face. On one occasion, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu took out the scriptures of the Torah and began to read those in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not realizing that it was not the appropriate thing to do so. And he did not look in the direction of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The face Mubarak of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed. And it could be seen clearly in his face that he was extremely displeased by this. One sahabi nudged Hazrat Umar and told him, beware. When Hazrat Umar looked up and he could perceive clearly in the face of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam the unhappiness, he immediately said, A'udhu billahi min ghadabihi wa ghadabi rasooli. I seek Allah Ta'ala's protection from his anger and displeasure and the displeasure of his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He carried on repeating these words until Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's displeasure was removed. So it could be seen in his Mubarak face. His pleasure was such and happiness that he recited these words on departure from there. Alhamdulillahi alladhi anqadhahu bi minan nar. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who saved this young boy through me from the fire of hell. There, glaring example in front of our eyes. He was a people's man. He went to visit the sick, even though they were from another faith and religion. I said earlier on, my dear friends, and I repeat, that how many of us have ever undertaken to visit a non-Muslim neighbor, for example, when he's ill, or when he's sick, or when there's some kind of problem, or there's some kind of tragedy, or some calamity that befalls him. Those are these opportunities that if we show our good akhlaq, we show our caring at that time, we show our sympathy, these are all in keeping with the principles of Islam. That is what is the greatest attraction. Recently I went to a town in the Free State in Welkom for a program. Met one of the young ulama there. And he was giving an example in their street. There's several non-Muslims living alongside with Muslims as neighbors. An elderly man, Christian man. He had no family. Wife left him or she died. Whatever it was, he was living all by himself. A sole lone ranger, as they say, all by himself, living in his house. He happened to get sick. And the sickness came to the extent that his leg was amputated. And he was at home moving around in a wheelchair. Maulana and them came to know about this, that this is a non-Muslim neighbor, he's been for the operation, his leg has been amputated. With a few brothers from the masjid, they went to visit this man. Knocked at his door, introduced themselves. This is the Maulana, I'm the priest or the leader of the mosque from the masjid, and these are brothers, we have come to visit you. We've just come to visit you, a social visit. because of the fact that we heard, this is what has happened, so we decided to pay you a friendly visit as neighbors. And would that they took some food. The man was tearing, and tears were running down his cheek. And he said, I cannot believe that there are still such people left in the world that in this plight of mine, they have taken the trouble of coming to knock at my door and they have presented some food for me. I had given up hope on humanity and mankind that this is now a selfish world where everyone is for himself and God for everyone, as they say. Every man for himself and God for all. I thought that we had reached that stage where humanity was dead now and gone. But I cannot believe that in my own neighborhood there are such people who have that kind of compassion and who have that kind of caring and sharing attitude. And he was so moved by this. Maulana Anem continued to visit him. The doctors in that locality also paid a visit to him. And they warmed the heart of the man. Allah Ta'ala give him tawfiq of iman. Through that akhlaq and character, Allah give him tawfiq to read the kalima shahada. Allah give him hidayat. But these are the things, my dear friends, that unfortunately we are not doing enough of it. The seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is all about this. To show the best akhlaq, to show the best of ourselves and our side to humanity and mankind. And it is through that people were attracted to Deenul Islam. We were 2% Muslims in this country from Allah knows best when. Every time a visitor comes to our country, they ask, so what is the Muslim population of South Africa? And we have to keep on saying 2%. There are those people who have come perhaps 30 years and 40 years, regular visitors to our country, and they keep asking the question, but every time we come, you're only still 2%. Why is it that we are still 2%? What is holding the people back from coming into Deenul Islam? Why is it that people are not seeing the beauty of Islam? The only way they will see the beauty of Islam is through interaction with the Muslims. When the Muslim businessman shows in his business the honesty, integrity, he shows the kindness and compassion, he shows the good character and good mannerism of a Muslim businessman, like how those four businessmen went to Indonesia and the businessman went to China. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors of hidayat and floodgate of hidayat was opened on four businessmen on their akhlaq and character and so many millions. Today Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in terms of population in the world. Four businessmen were responsible. What is wrong that people cannot see the beauty of Islam in the character of the businessman of today? An employer, why is it that they cannot see the beauty of Islam in the character and conduct of the Muslim employer? What is it that is holding them back from the beauty of Islam? Whereas in the past, it was not even a matter of few days, sitting on this very chair, my dear friends, of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Alayh, how many times we have heard Hazrat's akhlaq and character when it came to the servants in the madrasa, that not a week or month would go past that a maid that came to work in the madrasa, influenced by the good akhlaq and character of Hazrat and his teachings, would come into the fold of Islam. These are the practical lessons of seerah. This is what seerah is all about. It's not memorizing facts and figures and statistics and dates. That is part of the seerah. But the real aspect of the seerah is the akhlaq of a mu'min. That we should reach and touch the hearts of people and humanity and mankind. People must see the practical example and beauty of Islam in our day-to-day life. When a person gets into contact with us, they must have the first impression is the lasting impression, as they say. That impression must be, what a fine human being. What a good person. How nice if everybody in the world could be like that. That is what we should be demonstrating. So we find, my dear friends, that across the board, we should be touching the lives of people around us. In our schools, we have non-Muslim teachers coming, for example. We have non-Muslim children coming. Why is it that months and years go past, but the non-Muslim has not changed anyway? He's still just there and there. We have not been able to touch the lives of people. In our workplaces, people work alongside with non-Muslim colleagues and so forth. Why have we not been able to illustrate and demonstrate that beauty of Islam, that your co-worker becomes influenced and says, I want to be, like it was in the case of Sahaba Kiram, that when they went anywhere in the world, there was no long, long speeches and long, long bayans. There were no big, big seminars and conferences and workshops and symposiums that were held to talk to the people about Islam and convince them about the truthfulness of Islam. They lived Islam. Islam was a practical living entity in their life. And all they had to do was to say to the people, Kunu mislana. Become like us. Become like us. Can we, my dear friends, today, with confidence stand up in front of a non-Muslim person and say, Kunu mislana, be like us? They will say, you are like us. You are like us. You want us to become like you? Where is the practical implementation of Deenul Islam in its full spectrum in our life that we can confidently stand up and say, Kunu mislana, be like us? Illa mashallah, there are a few people, alhamdulillah, in the community, and through whom Allah Ta'ala has taken work, and many have got hidayat just by interaction with those people. We've heard of so many instances. There is a person in America by the name of Ghassan. He's such a person that virtually every day more than one person on average accepts Islam on his hand. There are times when 5-6 people at a time accept Islam on his hand. In America. Allah Ta'ala has given us beautiful opportunities in this country of our South Africa. Let us take this opportunity that has been given to us, become examples of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Live the seerah in our day-to-day life, my dear friends. Allah Rabbul Izzat accept and give us hidayat and tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana.